You know, we amended the original resolution to give till April 29th instead of April 1st. And this is just giving people the opportunity to come in with an idea, a concept. This is nothing that's cast in stone.
This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 744 in the series. This year is my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer, one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior Town Council meeting, akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we're all familiar with here in New England. This will be a discussion focused on the Town Council meeting of Wednesday, March 3rd. We answer two particular questions. Okay, what just happened, and what does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? In this session, we cover the following topics: the presentation on the OPEB, other post-employment benefits, the yearly update, two items of legislation for action. One, an expression of interest for the town to potentially sell the Old South Church, and authorizing the town administrator to negotiate the renewal of the contract with Franklin Community Cable Access. The subcommittee reports lead into some updates that are worth watching. The Capital Budget Subcommittee met March 3rd, which will then bring it to the full council likely March 16th. There's a budget subcommittee meeting that's really the joint budget subcommittee meeting March 10th. There's also a Finance Committee meeting March 9th. And the Economic Development Subcommittee, which met prior to the council meeting, was touting the Franklin for All session, which is coming up March 7th. Our session runs about 25 minutes. Links to the meeting agenda and my notes for the town council meeting are included. So let's listen to this session of the town council quarterbacking for March 3rd, 2022.
All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass area, dial at 102.9. It's a Thursday. There was a town council meeting the night before, so this is another town council quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, happy Thursday morning.
And happy Thursday to you, Steve.
Indeed. So it was one of those shorter meetings. You haven't had one of them under 2 hours in a while, but that's good.
That was a good thing. There wasn't a whole lot on last night's agenda, but obviously every once in a while, having a little shorter meeting makes it good for all. So.
Yes, and there was some good info in there. We'll dive right in. OPEB, this other post-employment benefits that, for those who may have listened for a while, and while I'm at it, before I go in that way, for the listeners, welcome. Thank you for joining us. For the new ones, this is a recap, a la some of the sports things you may have heard in terms of the Monday morning quarterback. Well, this is town council quarterbacking. We're going to condense last night's meeting in this morning session. And for the regulars, fasten the seatbelts. We'll try and get through what happened last night fairly quickly. And then to that end, other post-employment benefits. I remember when I first started reporting, this was that big albatross that was weighing on the town with how are we going to solve this unfunded mandate? And over time, it certainly became, well, there's not really a time date that you need to have it done by. There are implications financially generally. But there's no due date that you have to actually get it done by. And the town, to its credit, has made a number of pieces we can touch on as we get into this. But we're in a much better position now. And that update was provided ably by Dan Sherman again last night.
Yeah, he is our OPEB guru that helps us manage and deal with our OPEB obligations, other post-employment. So last night was our annual update, and it was a very positive update. We I believe last year we were in the vicinity of 9% funded, and we did a great job this year, and we are now at a little over 12% funded. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a large number, but when you look across the state, there are only a handful that are funded even close to what we are. There's a couple that are substantially more, for sure. But for the most part, there isn't a dozen that are in the state that are 12% or in double digits as far as being funded goes. So
yeah.
Franklin's in a very good place. It's something that I give Jeff Nutting a lot of credit. Initially, when we started putting money aside to deal with this obligation, which initially was upwards of $90,000, $90 million, sorry.
Right.
Over time, we've worked hard to keep putting some money aside to at least deal with the current obligations on an annual basis and keep kind of biting into some of the old that we know is right there and we have to deal with. So the good thing is we're 12%. We're better than most in the state. It's positive, but I just caution the council as well as we're doing, and as we still are only 12%.
Yeah. We still have a long way to go.
Yeah. But one of the things that came out, and I think you pointed it out, is that as we go further and actually get to fund, because there's two pieces. There's the funding of the retirement piece, and then there's the medical piece. Right. And the retirement piece is one that on our current stream of how we're able to put dollars aside, somewhere 2030 to 2035, we will have that piece of it funded.
Mm-hmm.
Then we put all of that money that we were spending to fund the retirement piece goes into the medical piece. And now we're jumping leaps and bounds on an annual basis,
right?
Rather than just 1, 2, or 3% that we've been able to do. So it was, as I said, a really good report. I think certainly Dan Sherman was very happy, as well as I am, and I think the entire council is, as to what we were able to accomplish in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of fine points to add to that. And I think Chris Sandini had came up at one point. We can't take everything out at some point just in case, because while there's no absolute requirement to have it done by a date specific, clearly, it's the council's decision to continue to fund, et cetera. So if we did have some sort of a crisis funding-wise, we could not fund for a year or two and still be within the ballpark, still not have the credit agencies start going crazy, et cetera. But there's a minimum piece that we still have to fund each year for the ongoing, for the current benefits as well. Correct. And we're really catching up on the overall benefits, period.
Exactly.
Some point in time, you know, folks prior to you effectively had been kicking the can down the road, and you're finally picking up the can and running with it. And at some point in time, we won't have to do that anymore.
That's our hope.
that's the one key
that's
piece.
That's the goal.
There. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think at the extreme, it was mentioned a couple of years ago. I don't think it came up last night, but there was one town, and I want to say whether it was Wellesley or Newton or somebody like that, actually did an override to fund their unfunded mandate, which obviously that's a choice, but we're not making that choice. We're taking the nickel and dime approach and then gradually increasing it so that we're getting there.
Yeah, we're taking the nickel and dime approach, and we're doing better than most of the cities and towns across the state. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And as long as we stay in that top 10%, I'm a very happy camper.
Yeah. And the end result in terms of how do we prove we're doing really well. And I think we've talked not recently, but in here and certainly in Jamie's conversations as well, our credit rating speaks to the financial performance. And I think we're one notch below AAA. Yes. The highest you can get. We're like AA++ or something like that. I'd have to go back. It hasn't been a recent discussion, but I know that's one of the proofs in the pudding in terms of how well are we doing.
Exactly. And if, for example, to your point, if we were not to, if something happened and we weren't able to fund for it, you know, 1 year, it's probably not going to affect much, but would affect a little.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a piece that the bonding companies look at when it comes time to posting bonds, borrowing money. So it's really important for us to maintain that bond rating, because that affects us in a very large way.
Yep. And we've got, certainly later this year, there's a couple of pieces as we get into the budget cycle, which we'll go into more detail as we go. But there are opportunities for us to go to credit market and borrow some money. And if we can get, I think last time we went, it was less than 1% interest rate, as opposed to 5, 6, 7, whatever the interest rates, because interest rates have been going up. But if we can still get that lowest rate, we're saving money. And that's the key piece. So
absolutely.
Moving on then, while there were, I think, four total pieces of action, two worthy of the conversation here, one picking up on a conversation that was started at a prior council meeting around the South Franklin Meeting House. The expression of interest was drafted by the town, and there was some discussion, but effectively approved last night, I think, with one minor modification in regards to the bring back date.
Right, the time frame. You know, we amended the original resolution to give till April 29th instead of April 1st. And this is just giving people the opportunity to come in with an idea, a concept. This is nothing that's cast in stone. This is a very initial piece of legislation that allows us to go out and see if there's any interest in that building and what the interest is. So hopefully we get some responses. Jamie was, I think the Milford Daily News did an article on it a while ago or a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it was picked up by a radio station, WGBH, I think, and they called Jamie and did a 30-minute interview, and then all of a sudden we started getting calls. So, again, power of the press, I guess, and the power of radio and TV.
Certainly.
So that's certainly something that is really helpful, and it's a good time for us to go out with this expression of interest, as we're calling it. And then if we were to get a half a dozen or a dozen expressions of interest, we can review those expressions of interest and then create an RFP, which again, here we are in acronyms again.
Right.
Request for a proposal is what RFP stands for.
Yep.
And what we'd be able to do with that is craft an RFP to accomplish the goals that the council feels very strongly about, which is really kind of preserving the facade.
If possible.
If possible. That's the biggest thing that the council is looking for, if possible. Mm-hmm. So this would give us, after reviewing the expressions of interest, we'd have the opportunity to create and draft an RFP that would address what we're looking for, what we'd like to see, and then incorporated into their expressions of interest and see what we come back with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of the informal attention getter. Hey, anybody want to do something with this? Before, to your point, they're more formal, more restrictive. We've got to do a whole lot more details around it. There's a whole lot of other process involved. And I know Mark Searle, our attorney, was alluding to, if you have to do certain things, then you've got that much more notification, timelines, et cetera, et cetera. So this, just give a heads up. If you're interested, let us know, and then we can take those next steps accordingly and then proceed. So yeah. All good.
Yeah.
And then the second piece was, it came up at a prior meeting. Actually, it came up initially at the annual meeting of the cable operation that I participated in. It had been revealed at the time that the auditor had found out that, oh, by the way, the contract we had with the town had expired somehow. Oops.
Yeah, whoops.
Not that it was a major issue. Obviously, we were still, on behalf of the town, continuing to provide all the services, et cetera, et cetera. But we needed to catch up with the paperwork, because there was at least a good understanding and there was no issues in terms of the relationship.
Right.
Town administration finally got to it and crafted the paperwork. And I believe certainly with a lot of help from Ken Norman, the chair of the board, and Pete Fasciano, our executive director. And that was reviewed last night, and it sounds like it's going to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. It was voted through last night. So, we're back up and running. Not that we were ever down, but no. As you stated, this just got the paperwork up. So it's a really good thing, and it's a good collaboration between the town and the cable access committee and board. They do a great job. You guys do a great job down there with radio and TV. A couple of questions came up last night as to how does somebody get access, or mm-hmm. somebody wanted to put a radio show together or a TV show. What was the process that they had to go through? And that's totally controlled by the Franklin Community Cable Access. So, mm-hmm. So anyway, this was an opportunity for us to let Jamie start negotiations with the board and put the agreement together. And I'm sure there'll be a few tweaks here and there. But basically, if somebody were looking to wanting to put a show on or help create a show, whether it be radio or TV, they just need to propose it to, I would guess it would probably go to Pete Fasciano first, yep. Executive director, and then it would go to the board for final approval. But it's not the council that is involved. It's 100% mm-hmm. community cable access.
So. Correct. Yeah, as I understand it, clearly based on, and actually I touted in each of my endings of all the podcast episodes. If you like what we do, share it. If you don't, let me know. But then if you want to help, contact us. And I know Pete has it regularly. So there is an info@franklin.tv. info@wfpr.fm. Those email addresses are available, so that can be a first point of contact. And then, yes, Pete would then follow up with the individual, explore what they're looking for, whether it's radio or TV. We are cable access. We are community cable access. My work with that is certainly sharing kind of the business side. That's my focus. But as you're aware, and I think we've taught it in other places, there's a more perfect union, kind of covers the legalistic, constitutional, you know, getting to the more perfect union. There's a priest, a minister, and a rabbi walking to a radio station. So local people with a faith-based approach to some of the big issues. There's a wine show with the Franklin Liquors, and those are just a couple of the other radio pieces. Certainly Frank Fowley goes back pre-cable. I mean, the early days when the town was actually running, because that was one of the other things that, for people not aware, the town used to run it alone. And then the cable company, cable access group, started as a 501c3 and then set up the operation. And now we have the contract to provide the services. And there's a specific number of meetings that we are obligated to provide. And clearly we'll do more than that as resources and equipment allow as well, and bandwidth in some cases. So yeah, it's been fun to be part of it. And I look forward to continuing to be part of that.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then some recaps on there was a capital budget meeting, and there's a continuation of that later tonight. By the time people hear this, they won't be able to do much for that. They'll have to get that through other channels. But that ultimately will come to the council for full approval once the capital budget has been, you know, fully discussed.
Right. And hopefully it'll be on March 16th. Council meeting, but if not, it'll be on the first
in April
meeting in April 6th, I think it is.
And then related to that, next week, while there's a finance committee meeting on Wednesday, the joint budget committee, which combines FinCom, town council budget committee, and school committee, correct. That first one kicks off on Thursday, March 10th.
That's correct. And that's really one of the great things that has been put together over the last half a dozen years is this joint budget subcommittee, where we're getting the finance committee, the representatives from the finance committee, the council, and the school committee all together in the same room, talking through the budget process and asking some of the very difficult questions that don't always get asked during the full budget process. So I certainly would say to our listeners, please tune in to the Joint Budget Subcommittee meeting, because it is an integral part of the budget process. And in my opinion, it's probably the most important part of the budget process.
Yeah, especially in the preparation piece, because I think you're probably aware, Jamie had touted, I think, in the last week's Talk Franklin, that's where he's going to give us our first preview of what the budget's going to look like this year. So that's an extra tease. If you want to know what we're going to see, the first preview is coming out on March 10th.
Absolutely.
And as we've talked, and Jamie has said and emphasized, you know, the budget has a cycle. So we do the capital piece, we do the ops piece, there's the FinCom hearings, the town council hearings, the budget gets signed and approved for July 1. But the budget discussion effectively is, and actions can be taken at any time and effectively go through the year. So in case in point, I know sometimes where the budget, you know, closes, free cash is available, that becomes our capital piece. And oh, by the way, a couple of invoices from the prior year, which closed, require special approval to get paid, et cetera. So there's all kinds of little things that, you know, it's an ongoing piece. It's good to stay tuned, but the real key preview of what 2023 will look like comes out March 10th.
Correct.
And then continuing that theme of citizen engagement, resident engagement, economic development subcommittee meeting met prior to the council. I joined a little late because I had a couple of other sessions to go through, but it's primarily in preparation for the forum Monday, March 7th.
Correct. Which
furthers the discussion around the zoning, downtown, et cetera. That's the big event coming.
Exactly. The only other piece they touched on were they're doing some work now investigating and looking at the parking situation at West Street and
yes.
Down there. So that's a piece that the council sent back to EDC for further review. And I know they're going to meet with the police chief and Lieutenant Riley and come up with some recommendations to bring to the full council. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and while it seems to be an easy thing, it was also referenced, Lisa Piana representing Franklin Downtown Partnership, even though it may seem like the $15 parking fee is too minimal. Well, there are implications for that, because considering it came in at the time when we paid the quarter to a quarter for the parking meter, right? So $15 was a substantial change over the quarter per hour or whatever it was at that time. So we need to take the big picture and figure it out, which is what the study is going to do, and then come back through EDC eventually. So,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not going to be, there's going to be a solution, but it may not be as easy as some might think offhand.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. All good. Indeed. Well, for those listening, thank you for doing so. And for you, Tom, clearly, thank you for participating in this and helping to share and get into what happened last night at the town council meeting.
And thank you, Steve. And again, thank you for doing these quarterbacking sessions. I do believe that we have a listening audience, so we're developing a listening audience to these quarterbacking sessions that we do. And I think it's a value to the citizens of Franklin. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. And to close, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.